You pray this morning that God will move and have His will and His way in this place and in each one of us. Amen. What a tremendous time we had here on Wednesday night. The Spirit of the living God was in this place. And He's here today. I feel His presence. Like one old person told me one time, old preacher said, I got glory bumps riding piggyback. I got so many. Amen. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, reading through verse 15. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Where is, or don't you know, whereas you know not what shall be in the morning." In other words, you don't know what's coming. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say," in other words, we ought to say this, "if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." God bless the reading of His Word. Take someone's hand next to you, and let's pray together as family of God in this place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege and the honor and the joy of being able to worship You here today. Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would come down in a mighty way upon us as we try and preach Your Word. I pray, Lord, for unction and a ready turn of thought, the words to say. I pray for open hearts, hearts opened by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that, God, You would have Your will and Your way, Your plan and purpose be accomplished here today in this people. We pray that You'll bless our young people and children as they meet, and also everyone in here as well. We pray that, God, when we leave this place, that, God, we will leave rejoicing, saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we pray that, God, we will get a forever touch here today. That, Lord, will stay with us for a lifetime. That, Lord, we'll be changed, molded, and made, shaped into being more like You. So, God, come now. We pray that You'll bind every spirit contrary to the Holy Spirit. And we plead Your blood over this people and this place. Hear us as we pray and intercede during this service, because, God, we want more of You. And we pray and ask all this in the lovely name of our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, this week, some pretty great and awesome people passed away. Some you may have known. Some may have been just an acquaintance, and you knew of them, but you didn't really know them. There were some that I knew that passed away. One not much older than myself. And it really got me to thinking, folks. It got me to thinking about how short this thing is called life. It's really short. In our scripture, in verse 14, it says your life is only like a vapor. It's very brief. And it got me to thinking about how that in life, we waste so much of our life. We waste a lot of it. I just imagine that when we get to heaven, we'll be amazed, astonished even, at how many years added up to just being wasted. And you know, that's a shame. Because, like it or not, you only get one spin around. You only get one life to live in this world that God's given us. And then we've got something way better waiting on us. This isn't all there is. This isn't the best it gets, by no means. But this is the only life that God gives us here on earth to be able to glorify Him and fulfill the plan that He has for our lives. I want to be like Paul one day. Paul was in a Roman jail cell. And in his second letter to Timothy, a younger preacher that he had mentored, he wrote to him in chapter 4, and he said, "I am now ready to be offered." He was in a prison cell in Rome. He knew that the judgment had already been passed upon him by Caesar, that he was to be beheaded because he served Jesus Christ. And he knew he had but a short time left, and he said, "But I'm ready. I'm ready now to be offered." And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. He went on then to say, "I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." I want that to be the words that each of us say. I want that to be all of our statement. That when we get ready to leave this world, we say, "I fulfilled what God put me here to do. I've done what He told me to do. I have fulfilled the plan. I have run my race. I may not have run it perfectly. I may not have been the best at it all the time, but I at least completed the course that is set before me." Don't leave something left undone. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, when I thought about these dear people that passed away this week, I thought about like Mac Chappell from Swainsboro and Deborah Walker from back home, her husband Lindsay Walker, Walker Pharmacy, and others that we heard of. I thought about how both of them so young, and yet they left this world. And I thought that could be me. That could be you. You may be 20 years old here this morning, and you may be thinking, "I've got a long life to live." Let me tell you, I have buried a few 20-year-olds. I buried some 15-year-olds and children. And I buried people that were old. My friends, we don't know the day nor the hour the Lord's coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour that we're leaving this world either, if that happens before He comes back. Our life is short. You notice verse 13. He says, don't go and say, "Tomorrow I'm going to do this and this," and stay there a year. And just leave it on that verse. And buy and sell and get gain. In other words, he's not saying that we shouldn't make plans. He's not saying don't prepare for your retirement. He's not saying don't make plans for, go ahead and make your reservations for your summer vacation. He's not saying don't go ahead and plan that surprise birthday party for your spouse or whatever the case may be. He is saying that whenever we make plans, we need to understand that God is in charge of everything and He can change the plans. That's why he says in verse 15, if you'll go there to verse 15, we should say, "If the Lord wills," I love you, baby, "if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. If it's God's will, I'll do this or that." Don't worry about Jessie. She'll be fine. She's never done that before. She needed a hug. But folks, listen to me. The truth is, we can make all the plans we want. There's scripture along those lines. But God gets the final say on the plans. Amen? You know, man can make a plan, but God is the one that puts a period on it. God can put a comma. God can rewrite the sentence. God can change the whole narrative. It's in His hands. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that, folks. Because when you understand that, it'll help you keep things in perspective. For instance, how many have ever got bent out of shape in Atlanta traffic? Now be honest. If you're lying, you can come to this altar and repent. Everybody's hand ought to be up if you've ever gone through Atlanta. Unless you've never left where you live and gone through Atlanta, you need to raise your hand because we've all got been out of shape in that Atlanta traffic. I think that if you go to hell, you must have to first pass through Atlanta first. I mean, kind of just to prepare you for what hell's like. You know what, though? When we get things in perspective and say, you know, God's in charge. Maybe He's letting me get in this traffic for a reason. Maybe He's, like I preached the other Wednesday night, it's a divine delay. Maybe it's a divine delay. And He's protecting me from something. Maybe He's setting me up where I'll be at the right place at the right time to speak to somebody or do something that He's told me to do. Amen? So we got to understand God's in charge of all of this. We make plans, but God is one in charge of all the plans, and he has the final answer. At verse 14, again, it says, "My life, your life, is like a vapor." Look what it says there. It says, we don't know what will be tomorrow. Does anybody here know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? You might say, well, I'm going to work tomorrow. I've got to do this. Well, you don't know you're going to work. There's some people that think they're going to work tomorrow, but they're going to die tonight. I'm just being real. You say, well, bless God, I didn't come to hear this. I stayed home and watched Joel Osteen. Yeah, if you want something sugary, just go ahead. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? There's people that will make plans and say, I'm going to do this, but they never get to do them. There was a man in the Bible. And this man in the Bible, he had been blessed. Everybody say, I am blessed. He had been blessed, and he'd been so blessed, he said, he got kind of full of himself. He said, you know what, I'm going to tear down everything God's blessed me with, and I'm going to build something greater, bigger, more majestic, something that'll be an eye catcher to everybody passing by. And they'll say, oh, look at me, look at him. And so that night, the Lord came to him, and he said, you fool, fool. This night, your soul is going to be required of you. Then, to whom will all these things go to? What good will it do you? And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, you may not go to work tomorrow. You may not go to school. We may not leave this service today before the Lord comes back. We don't know. And the way the world's going, I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so our life, it says, we don't know what tomorrow is going to be. And then it says, what is your life? It's like a vapor. Everybody say vapor. Vapor. You know what a vapor is? Have you ever seen steam come out of a teapot? That steam rises? Just as quickly as it appears, it's gone. It vanishes. He says that's the way your life is. I turned 53 in December. December 21st, I turned 53. I have a very notable birthday because it's one day after Brother Kurtz. No, one day before. I precede him, praise God. By many years, Pastor. We're going to take away his pastor and he's going to have to go back to deacon. No, I'm kidding. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. The older I get, the quicker my years pass. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is this just in my head or is it true?
It gets worse.
Well, thank you. Anybody got a pistol? I can borrow some strychnine. I'm ready for it. Thank you, sister. It's the truth, though. Life goes faster and faster by. I mean, it was just the other day, Jessie Kate was born, and I held her and rocked her all night long in that rocking chair, and I made up this song for her. I made up a little song for her. I really did. And I'm not going to sing it for you. Don't think I'm fixing to. But I remember that day, that night, and now she's 6 years old, growing on seven. Where does the time go? And her life is like that. It's like a vapor. I mean, Jamie's having a birthday today. You know, bless God. How many, Jamie? 46. Young buck still. Bless God. Still in them 40s. You know, 40 is the number of testing. 50, though, is the year of Jubilee. Right, Keith? We're claiming that. It's the year of Jubilee, bless God. But I pray your testing won't be bad, though. But you know what? Let me tell you, every one of us, those birthdays are going to come around faster and faster. I remember when I was a kid and I was waiting to turn 16. I thought, my goodness, Kevin, I'm 16, December 21st, will never get here. I thought I'm never going to get there because I wanted to be able to get that driver's license. Not that we want to drive back home where I'm from down in South Georgia. We drove when we were 15. I drove school starting at 15. But then I could drive legal, and I didn't have to watch out for my cousin, the sheriff, you know. But I thought, it'll never get here. Time seemed to drag by. Seemed like the clock went backwards sometimes, you know. You're in school, you know, from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. You know I'm talking about Lauren. She just had a birthday. Right now, those birthdays come kind of slow. Honey, they fit in the speed up. Get ready. I promise you, for Mama and Daddy, they're going too fast. They're going too fast. And that's the way life is. So, if our lives pass so quickly, can I slow it down? No. you and I, we can't slow it down. If we can't slow it down, then what can I do? The only thing you and I can do is make sure we live well. Live well. And I thought about what are some of the things that we can do. And I'm going to tell you, these are some decisions I have made. I'm going to give you 7 real quick if you want to write them down. And as soon as I give them out to you, Jackson is going to stand up and he's going to recite them all because he's got a good memory. He's married to a school teacher. I've decided a few things that'll help me live well. And I hope you'll decide these things too. Number one, I've decided to love more. To love more. You say, well, Brother Tom, you're a man of God. Don't you love already? Yes, but I can love more. You know, the Bible says don't love in just word only, but in deed and in truth. You know, love is not a noun. Love is a verb, really. I know that might not be grammatically correct, but love is meant to be a verb. Something you do. Something you say. And so, I've decided to love more. Love God more. I hate to tell you this, and I stand before you convicted this morning, but I don't love God like I should. I don't love Him as I should. I try to, but I'm not loving Him as I should. I can love Him more. And I know that because if I love Him all I should love Him, I should never deny Him. I should never turn my back when He tells me to do something. I should be quick to obey. And so I ask Him, forgive me and help me, Lord, love You more. Help me love You more. But I want to love my family more. I want to love my family more. You know, sometimes, and this happened just this week. Lynn was talking about Jesse needed a hug. She literally, this week one day, she said, I need a hug. And I said, in a minute, baby, Daddy's busy. And I was studying for Wednesday night. Listen, I need to feed my sheep, but I need to take care of that little lamb. And so, I felt convicted about that because I've been thinking about these people that passed away way too soon and how my life could be gone. And last night, we were in there sitting there eating, and I was sitting there eating, and she said, need a hug, Daddy. And so I got up and went to her chair and set my plate down. And y'all know how I love my groceries, so you know I meant it. And I gave her a big old hug, and she kissed me on the cheek. Oh, that was better than silver and gold. I've decided to love God more, love my family more, but love my fellow man more. I need to. You know what? If we'll all just love each other more, all this division and mess that's going on, we'll see a lot of that just evaporate like that vapor. Amen? Start putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes and think, how would I feel if I were them? What do they need? What will bless their heart? It's not about me, it's about Him. And being about Him, that means Him, He was always about them, you know. See, the cross is vertical, but then there's a horizontal beam. Our relationship with Him and our love for Him, but then our love for one another goes outward, amen? So I decided I'm going to love more. I hope you'll agree with that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Secondly, I've decided, since I want to live well this life that is so brief, I've decided to take more time to enjoy my family. Take more time to enjoy my family. You know, Gina doesn't know it, but today she's going to do something she hadn't done before. When she gets through with the Easter practice, and we get through eating some lunch, and I might take a little nap. But she is going what my brother termed as a wild hillbilly ride. Y'all don't know what that is, do you? My brother, when he was a boy, he was about 10 years older than me. He got a mini bike for Christmas one year from Sears and Roebuck. One of the kind you pulled the handle on. It had about a 6-horsepower motor on it. And boy, he rode that thing all through them swamps down there on Mill Creek and Geechee River. And I remember him telling me one day, he said, Tom, and I was about 5 or 6 years old, he said, you want to go with me for a ride on a wild hillbilly ride? I said, yeah. I got on the back. Boy, he scared the devil out of me. I mean, the bejiggers out of me. I jumped and I hollered and screamed. I was holding on with everything I could. But boy, it was fun. We're going on a wild hillbilly ride in that Ranger, that Polaris, after church day sometime. I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere. And I done got it service, we're going. I told Jesse, we're going to do something fun Sunday. We're going to do something fun after church Sunday. So I decided to take more time for my family. I hope you'll do the same. Because I'm going to tell you, your family and church family are the only ones that are really you can count on that will stick with you. Amen. Number three, since life is brief and I want to live it well, I've decided to make worship and knowing God my highest priority. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you, make worship a priority in your life. There'll be one day you'll wish, while you're laying in that nursing home or you're on that hospital bed, you're going to say, I wish I could be in God's house today. I wish I could hear the songs of Zion. I wish I could just hear that fat jawed preacher one more time, or listen to Brother Jamie sing like an angel one more time. I wish I could see the children at church receiving in the children's lesson. I wish I could be inside the walls of that place one more time. Make worship a priority in your life. Because there'll come a day when you won't be able to come. Number four, I've decided to take better care of this temple. And that might come as a shock to you, but I've thought about this thing. And I've been thinking about it. The Bible tells us, it says, what is your body? It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so, last night, I ate some fish and a salad. And I didn't even eat any French fries, and the fish was not fried. And I might have liked it fried better, and I might have liked a big old bag of French fries with it. But I ate a salad. And I'm drinking green tea and water. And trying to keep it to one Diet Pepsi a day. Although Diet Pepsi does not have aspartame like Diet Coke. If you drink a Diet Coke, you need to throw that out. It's bad for you. Even worse. But take care of this temple. And so after I get through with the wild hillbilly ride today, I'm going on my walk. I'm getting my walking back going. I started out good at the first of the year, and then I kind of tailed off. I got a cold and I couldn't walk, and then it rained in. But I'm going to walk. And if it rains while I'm trying to walk, I'm going to go inside. I've already thought about it. I'm going to go up and down the stairs. I'll drive Gina and Jesse and the dog crazy, but I'm going up and down the stairs till I get that good walk in. Praise God. Or either come to the Family Life Center and walk around it. I've decided to take care of this temple. Number five, since we know that life is brief and we want to live well, have a well-lived life, I've decided to not leave things left unsaid. Don't leave things left unsaid. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people at the funeral home or at a funeral or after a funeral say, I wish I could have told them. I wish I had said, if only I had one more opportunity to tell them. Don't leave things unsaid that need to be said. And the things that don't need to be said, leave them unsaid. I've decided not to leave things unsaid that need to be said. And that could mean telling somebody about Jesus. That could mean telling somebody you love them. But don't leave it unsaid. Number six, I've decided to not be shy about sharing Christ. Brother Tom, I know you're not shy. Oh, but I can be, just like you. I'm made of flesh and bone just like you. I'm no different. And there can be times where I can be shy about sharing Jesus Christ. But my friends, when I thought about these that have died, I thought about eternity. And I'm going to tell you, I wish right now for everyone in this room right here and everybody that'll hear by internet and on the CDs all over the world, I wish right now I could pull up this carpet and pull up the planks in this floor and let every one of us look down into hell right now. Just 1 minute, that we could all see into hell for 1 minute and hear the cries and the screams and feel the heat radiating out of that place. And understanding that everyone that is there, there will never, do you know what never means? Never come a time when they can escape. There is no escape. Once you're there, it's over. And they don't die. It's called the second death, but they live on in death. They live. You don't go there and you're burned up and extinguished. You live forever in this dreadful place apart from God. There's darkness. There's such torment. It smells and reeks, and you hear the screams and cries of mamas and daddies with their children there, and their children say, "Daddy, why didn't you tell me about this place?" And I wish for 1 minute I could take the roof off this church, part the clouds, and let everyone here see into heaven and see what a contrast. That in heaven right now, they are dancing. You might say, "I don't dance." You will if you're saved one day, bless God. They are dancing. And they are singing and they are shouting. There's smiles all around. There's such joy and happiness. There's a peace and there's protection. And there's a wonderful place there that they are all abiding in. And it's forever as well. I've decided to quit being shy about telling people about Jesus. Sister Joyce in Sunday school shared how that when they were at the cancer clinic a few weeks back, there was a lady that got some bad news from the nurse and she began to weep. And Sister Joyce will tell you, said, "I'm not like this. I'm a shy person. But I felt something inside of me so touched by this woman's tears that I had to go to sit beside her and ask her, 'Can I have a prayer, word of prayer with you?'" And she prayed with her right there. And the waiting room filled to capacity with people. That didn't intimidate her. Let me tell you something, my friends. We need to come to a place of confidence in Christ and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we realize I've got but a short time and I can't take houses, I can't take tractors, I can't take cars, I can't take ball trophies or anything else with me to heaven. The only thing I can take is other people. And it's high time that I quit being shy about sharing Jesus. Amen. And so she shared with that person, the love of God, by praying with them. I've decided, since I want to live a life that's lived well, to not be shy about telling people about Jesus. And then, are you still there? Amen. I got number 7, one last one. And this might sound frivolous, it might sound of the flesh, but it's not. It's scriptural. I've decided to enjoy myself. I've decided, you say, "Well, Gene will tell you Tom enjoys himself everywhere he goes." And I do, I've already been doing this, but I'm going to do it more. I'm like David when he was dancing before the Lord and he danced right out of his clothes and all he had on with his drawers and his wife made fun of him, Michaela. She said, "Oh, you're embarrassing yourself. You're the king of Israel." He said, "Watch me. I'm going to get more vile." And he just dumped and danced more. He was praising God, see, because God had given him the art back. But I've decided I'm going to enjoy this life God's given me. Now, I'm not going to enjoy it to the exclusion of putting God first and being in His house. I'm not going to enjoy Him to the exclusion of God where that I'm going to go buy a camper and stay on the road 3 weekends out of every month and not come to God's house where I'm a member and where I'm supposed to be faithful. I'm not going to enjoy life to the exclusion that I don't reach down and help somebody else that's struggling. I'm not going to enjoy life to the exclusion of the fact that I become self-absorbed. And it's all about me. I don't mean that at all. But I mean to appreciate. To have appreciation for everything God's given me. And every day, Glenda, every day. This old black lady, I remember one time, she would always tell me, she'd say, "You yet holding on?" I'd say, "Yes, ma'am." She said, and she didn't have no teeth, she'd say, "Then you just keep holding on them, baby." And I remember this old song, "It's just another day that the Lord has kept me." It's another day the Lord has kept me. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. You know, we have Sunday school, and we have Sunday morning church. We don't have evening church. And I've caught some flack from people through the years about that. First of all, if we had it, I wouldn't want to have it and just have a handful come and just be a damper from Sunday morning service, upon Sunday morning service. But you know what? Sunday evening, that's time for you to spend with your family. It's a time for you to enjoy your life that God has given you. It's a time to spend time in personal worship. Read your Bible, pray and talk to God, rest up. I've had people say, well, you're just not the right kind of Baptist if you don't have church on Sunday night. Where in the Bible does it say how many times on Sunday you have to have church? I know one time, but I don't see where we got to have it at night. And I'm not against that. If all of you tell me you'll come back tonight, I'll be here. But I don't believe you would. Let's enjoy our life. I read a great quotation the other day. And the quotation said this. Look at me. Look at me real good. Because I'm good looking. So look at me. Just I'll repent for my lying too in a minute. I read this quotation. And it said, one day, your life is going to flash before your eyes. Make sure it was worth watching. God came, Jamie quoted this verse, Jesus came to give us life. Amen? That's what He did at the cross. He paid for our sins so that we could have life. But He said, I come that you might have life and have life more
abundantly.
Abundantly. You see, He wants you to enjoy the abundant life of Him. He doesn't want you to put things ahead of Him. No, not at all. But He doesn't mind you enjoying a new fishing pole. He doesn't mind you enjoying going to a sale or going to the beach, but He doesn't want it to be to the exclusion of Him. Listen, every one of us here one day is going to die. I don't know when it'll be. You don't know when it'll be. But let's make sure we're ready to die. I got ready to die when I was 21 years old. I got ready then. I was prepared when I was 21 years old. You say, how'd you get ready to die at 21 and you're 53 now? Because at 21 I said yes to Jesus. I asked Him to come into my heart and be my Savior. And do you know that ever since that time, you think about 21 from 53, that's 32 years ago, there's never been one day, never one day that I've not been in His care, never one day that I had to worry about where I was going. Because I know that when I came to Him, I meant it. And it was for real. Today you can have that opportunity. Today you can have that experience. We're going to ask you to come and give your life to Christ in just a moment. Let's all stand. With every head bowed and every eye closed, our pastors come down forward to the altars. We encourage you to come to these altars. If you need prayer, ask one of these fine associate pastors we have. If you need Brother Harry to pray for you, go to right to where he's at, because we're going to make him sit down. He's our senior associate pastor, and we want him to rest up, because we got a lot more miles for him yet to travel. But I'm going to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your head right now. And I want to ask you this question. Are you ready? I mean really ready. Those people that died this week, they didn't know they were going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. Now you have the opportunity to miss that dreadful place and to gain that wonderful heavenly home that God has waiting for you. But this may be the last opportunity you have. We don't know. And so I'm going to do something that I do each week. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Now, nobody's looking. Every eye is closed. Nobody's walking around or anything like that. It's total privacy. I'm the only one that'll see besides God. And then you can put your hand right back down. I won't make you come up to the front. I'm not going to call your name. I won't be at your house this afternoon unless you invite me to come. But I'm going to ask you to have the desire, the courage to say, yes, I need a Savior. I want to know that I'm going to heaven one day. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. Get ready. This could be the last countdown you ever hear for this opportunity. So here we go. One. Don't listen to the devil. He's going to try and tell you no, don't do it. Two. If you're not 100% sure, you need to do this. Here we go. Three. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. See two hands. Anyone else? Three. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's all pray this prayer together out loud. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I invite you to come into my heart, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord. I repent of my sins, and I ask your forgiveness. Wash me, cleanse me, white as snow. Make me your child. And Lord, I ask you, help me to live a well-lived life for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise for those three people today. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about, folks. Now these altars are open. You can start coming.